Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Archie Allison from Variety Ontario. So, can you tell me a little bit about your work with Variety?
Absolutely. So, my name is Archie Allison. I'm the Director of Access and Awareness at Variety Village, located in Scarborough. We are a sports training and fitness center open to people of all ages and abilities. Roughly 8,000 members join us for weekly exercise, currently put on hold with COVID restrictions and impact, but we're hoping in the future again to offer our programs, events, team practices and training, and multi-sport programs again.
So, in terms of when you say all abilities, I take it that includes individuals with disabilities and the use of modified equipment, for example.
Yeah, so we, all abilities, we have people varied ages from infancy to later stage in life. I think our oldest member is possibly 96. People with physical, intellectual, mental health, varied exposure to sport and recreation, varied experiences and skill, and really kind of recreational to competitive level of interest, depending on kind of the individual and the family. Lots of the families that join because we're an inclusive and accessible facility and offering programs that are accessible, inclusive, and adapted. Our fitness equipment offers adaptations with different modifications and support from staff as needed, and all the equipment in the facility is designed so that we can introduce people of all abilities to fitness, health, and recreation and sport.
So, what are some of the more common adaptations you find yourselves making for someone with a disability who wants to use it?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Thank you, Cam. One of the areas that we look at often is in the fitness gym. There's a lot of questions around the size, the height, the width, and the spacing for equipment in an area. So we will often kind of reflect and look for equipment that offers adaptations in terms of a portable seat. The seat can move in or out, and then you can actually position the seat so your wheelchair can actually wheel into the apparatus independently, or you can actually transfer to the seat depending on your preference for that type of equipment in fitness. Motomeds are basically kind of pedal bikes. They're stationary. It's for the individual who's interested to actually hook their feet into the pedals. And it operates based on the level of movement you prefer. So for some people, they would like the equipment to operate automatically and rotate the feet, positioning the legs automatically themselves. For some people, they like some pressure and some resistance. And for some people, you can actually move it independently from the seat position from your chair.
So, earlier you mentioned there are some mental health benefits to staying active. Tell me a little bit about some of what you've seen in some of the athletes.
I think for a lot of people coming to Variety for the first time, it's a chance to explore the things that they are interested in or told they can't do. So in terms of sport, we offer nine competitive teams for people who want to kind of compete and train with a coach. So those are athletes that with varied abilities, varied interests, and an inclusive model designed with able-bodied and disabled participants competing and practicing together. In terms of kind of the whole participation model, it's featuring independence and approach that we want to make sure everybody feels welcome, everybody feels included, and everybody feels involved.
So are there any challenges in modifying a program of fitness for someone with a disability?
Right, yeah, and answer your other question too, the mental health benefits for people is a chance to establish and build a social peer group, if interested, a chance to kind of build strength, flexibility, coordination, balance, or other, and a chance to kind of feel good about being part of a community program or event or activity. So for people getting out of the house and into the community has been in the past something that people really needed and wanted. A lot of our members face some isolation and anxiety of being at home, and finding a place where there's a lot of other people you can interact, engage with, and participate with creates a mental health capacity where you feel more confident, more accepted, and more included in what you're doing.
So in your time with this work, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Great question, Cam. I've been here for 38 years now, so in terms of success, I think for me, knowing that everyone has a place and a space where they feel active and included has been one of the principles that I feel most proud of being part of. And then there's a number of stories of people that have joined and on initial introduction to the facility or program or team, I thought they couldn't do something. And then over time, knowing that they could and they've excelled in the area of interest they wanted to go to. So an example would be one of the members I met many years ago when we first met, wasn't very involved in sport or activity. And when they were introduced to variety, became involved in our wheelchair basketball team, aspired to compete at an international level, and made Team Canada representing our country at three Paralympic Games and winning gold. So for that individual, it was really kind of fascinating for me to watch kind of the evolution of getting started, getting active, excelling in sport, and achieving what they aspire to do.
So if you could send any message to the disability population that might be hesitant or thinking that they couldn't get back into sport or into it for the first time, what would you tell them?
Yeah, it's finding the information. So I think knowing that there's information and resources available, it's just finding them and really make a contact with someone that can introduce you to the area of interest. I find a peer mentorship model works best when you're meeting someone else who's involved in the sport or the team or activity that can share their personal experience and what they've achieved through it. It really gives people another sense of participation, belonging, and self-confidence. So I really encourage people to check out, find out, and if I can be of any assistance, to contact me, and I can link you with programs, clubs, organizations, and individuals in your community that might be able to provide some more advice or recommendations or even some ideas of things that are out there that you might want to get involved in, be it social activities, physical activities, sport and recreation, or other.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Of course. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Archie Allison from Variety Ontario. So, can you tell me a little bit about your work with Variety?
Absolutely. So, my name's Archie Allison. I'm the Director of Access and Awareness at Variety Village, located in Scarborough. We are a sports training and fitness center open to people of all ages and abilities. Roughly 8,000 members join us for weekly exercise, currently put on hold with COVID restrictions and impact, but we're hoping in the future again to offer our programs, events, team practices and training, and multi-sport programs again.
So, in terms of when you say all abilities, I take it that includes individuals with disabilities and the use of modified equipment, for example.
Yeah, so we, all abilities, we have people of varied ages, from infancy to later stage in life. I think our oldest number is possibly 96. People with physical, intellectual, mental health, varied exposure to sport and recreation, varied experiences and skill, and really kind of recreational to competitive level of interest, depending on kind of the individual and the family. Lots of the families that join because we're an inclusive and accessible facility, and offering programs that are accessible, inclusive, and adapted. Our fitness equipment offers adaptations with different modifications and support from staff as needed, and all the equipment in the facility is designed so that we can introduce people of all abilities to fitness, health, and recreation and sport.
So, what are some of the more common adaptations you find yourselves making for someone with a disability who wants to use it?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Thank you, Cam. One of the areas that we look at often is in the fitness gym. There's a lot of questions around the size, the height, the width, and the spacing for equipment in an area. So we will often kind of reflect and look for equipment that offers adaptations in terms of a portable seat. The seat can move in or out, and then you can actually position the seat so your wheelchair can actually wheel into the apparatus independently, or you can actually transfer to the seat depending on your preference for that type of equipment and fitness. MotoMeds are basically kind of pedal bikes that are stationary. It's for the individual who's interested to actually hook their feet into the pedals, and it operates based on the level of movement you prefer. So for some people, they would like the equipment to operate automatically and rotate the feet, positioning the legs automatically themselves. For some people, they like some pressure and some resistance, and for some people, you can actually move it independently from the seat position from your chair.
So, earlier you mentioned there are some mental health benefits to staying active. Tell me a little bit about some of what you've seen in some of the athletes.
I think for a lot of people, coming to Variety for the first time, it's a chance to explore the things that they are interested in or told they can't do. So in terms of sport, we offer nine competitive teams for people who want to kind of compete and train with a coach. So those are athletes that with varied abilities, varied interests, and an inclusive model design with able-bodied and disabled participants competing and practicing together. In terms of kind of the whole participation model, it's featuring independence and approach that we want to make sure everybody feels welcome, everybody feels included, and everybody feels involved.
So, are there any challenges in modifying a program of fitness for someone with a disability?
Right, yeah, and answer your other question too, the mental health benefits for people is a chance to establish and build a social peer group, if interested, a chance to kind of build strength, flexibility, coordination, balance, or other, and a chance to kind of feel good about being part of a community program or event or activity. So for people, getting out of the house and into the community has been in the past something that people really needed and wanted. A lot of our members face some isolation and anxiety of being at home, and finding a place where there's a lot of other people you can interact, engage with, and participate with creates a mental health capacity where you feel more confident, more accepted, and more included in what you're doing.
So in your time with this work, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Great question, Cam. I've been here for 38 years now, so in terms of success, I think for me, knowing that everyone has a place and a space where they feel active and included has been one of the principles that I feel most proud of being part of. And then there's a number of stories of people that have joined and on initial introduction to the facility or program or team, I thought they couldn't do something. And then over time, knowing that they could and they've excelled in the area of interest they wanted to go to. So an example would be one of the members I met many years ago when we first met, wasn't very involved in sport or activity. And when they were introduced to Variety, became involved in our wheelchair basketball team, aspired to compete at an international level, and made Team Canada representing our country at three Paralympic Games and winning gold. So for that individual, it was really kind of fascinating for me to watch kind of the evolution of getting started, getting active, excelling in sport, and achieving what they aspire to do.
So, you could send any message to the disability population that might be hesitant or thinking that they couldn't get back into sport or into it for the first time. What would you tell them?
Yeah, it's finding the information. So I think knowing that there's information and resources available is just finding them. And really make a contact with someone that can introduce you to the area of interest. I find a peer mentorship model works best when you're meeting someone else who's involved in the sport or the team or activity that can share their personal experience and what they've achieved through it. It really gives people another sense of participation, belonging, and self-confidence. So I really encourage people to check out, find out, and if I can be of any assistance, to contact me, and I can link you with programs, clubs, organizations, and individuals in your community that might be able to provide some more advice or recommendations or even some ideas of things that are out there that you might want to get involved in, be it social activities, physical activities, sport and recreation, or other.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Of course. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hey, CGEM listeners. Looking for more ways to connect with CGEM programming? Try streaming CGEM through iHeartRadio. Listen online, download the iHeartRadio app, or use your smart speaker. Alexa, play CGEM on iHeartRadio. Experience CGEM FM on higher ground, no matter where you are.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Archie Allison told us a little bit about Variety Village, and Siri Tejaden told us a little bit about Wilderness Inquiry. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Betsy Allison, who'll be telling us about inclusive and adaptive sailing. So, can you tell me a little bit about adaptive and inclusive sailing?
Sure. Adaptive, the term adaptive sailing is what we have been using to describe sailing for people that have altered abilities, so to speak, whether they have physical disabilities, intellectual challenges, perhaps learning disabilities, anything that might limit some of their senses or skills or their abilities to participate in a sport, in this instance, in sailing. And the inclusive part really is what we with sailing embrace, because sailing is one of the very few sports where people with challenges and limitations and disabilities can sail alongside people who are able-bodied.
So, what are some of the more common adaptations you've made for someone with a disability to be able to participate fully?
Sure. When we talk about adaptations, they can be super wide in terms of what they are. Again, the first thing to understand is what the disability is and what limitations are involved in that process. And then what we try to do with adaptations is minimize the impact of the disability on participation in sailing. So, for example, someone who is vision impaired, either partially or totally, we may use tactile cues. It might be tape on a line where it would insert in the cleat, or it might be a timing cadence, a countdown to a tack or a jive. With physical disabilities, sometimes it might be a limitation in someone's hand strength or grip, so we might alter the type of tiller or tiller extension that they use to steer the boat to make it easier for them to hold on to or to push. If someone is mobility challenged and has limitations to transferring across the bench, it might be from side to side in a boat. It might be a simple transfer bench, which could be as easy as putting a recycling bin, wedging it in between the two seats on board the boat, or inserting a type of shower bench that might fit the distance in between the seats on a boat. It might be using a cooler that is the right length to fit in between, or it could be a sophisticated, crafted, engineered seating system that is designed specifically for the boat to be used on. So there's really a wide range, and what we try to do is encourage people who are trying to adapt boats for people to look at a stable platform, first of all, a boat that is not going to be too tippy for someone with a disability to be able to sail, and then to look at just minimum types of adaptations to make, and typically they evolve over time to suit a particular disability or person.
So how do you go about reaching out to the disability community about your work?
Well, I work for U.S. Sailing, and U.S. Sailing as the governing body for the sport in the United States, one of our programs is adaptive sailing, and we have a network of clubs and organizations across the country that offer adaptive sailing specifically for people who are interested. Many of our community sailing programs provide that entree into the sport for people with disabilities. Some organizations and community sailing programs are more suited for one type of disability than another. For example, a particular org might be on a site that doesn't lend itself to wheelchair users, be it the terrain or the huge tidal changes on their dock systems, which would not make it easy for someone who is mobility challenged, but they may be more suitable for people with vision impairments or someone who would be an amputee. So again, sometimes the facility itself may have some challenges in accommodating all different disability types, but many of them are working towards making their own site facilities more accessible. So in terms of outreach, when we get inquiries, we direct them to our local sailing organizations that can accommodate the different disabilities. And sometimes people can go to any organization and be reasonably accommodated. So sometimes it's through direct inquiry. Sometimes we do outreach and have agreements with different disability organizations. We have worked closely with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee to run Paralympic workshops. We've worked with different veterans groups to provide the opportunities. But again, it might vary. We definitely do try to get the word out about adaptive sailing and inclusive sailing in our U.S. Sailing regular communications to members and newsletters that people can sign up for. So again, much of it is word of mouth. Others come in, we direct answers out to direct inquiries.
So in your time with this work, has there been any success story in terms of adaptation or inclusion that stands out for you?
Wow. I spent the better part of 20 years of my working career with U.S. Sailing as the head coach of our U.S. Paralympic sailing team. So at first I was a contract coach for the organization, then I was full-time, but I've had the great fortune to work with people with disabilities, be they amputees up through people who have had high spinal cord level injuries. And I think the most important and most imprinted experiences for me is to watch individual sailors blossom into competent sailors, to see quadriplegics be able to take their caregivers out sailing and be independent on the water, to see sailors develop to be highly functioning in a complex environment confidently with minimal assistance. And I think that aspect, the freeing nature of our sport and people being able to be one with the wind and water and be out there with their colleagues, be they disabled or able-bodied, has been the thing that has impressed me the most. So I've worked with hundreds of people over the years, and each one of has such an incredible, unique story. So there's not one particular one that stands out in my mind. It's really that sense of achievement and ability that people come away with that, to me, is what has been the driving force of my involvement.
So I understand that your organization was involved in creating a manual for those with disabilities who want to get involved. Tell me a little about
that. Sure. U.S. Sailing, in partnership with World Sailing, which is the international sailing organization, has created an adaptive manual, and it is freely available to anyone around the world. You don't need to be a member. You don't need to be a specific organization. You don't need to even have been involved with adaptive sailing before. And that adaptive manual can be found on the U.S. Sailing website, which is www.ussailing.org/adaptive. So please feel free. Anyone can come on board, get a look at it, and it will help not only organizations, but sailors, potential sailors, and their caregivers, provide a great opportunity for people to get out on the water.
Thank you very much. Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, no problem. Happy to help.
Thanks. My friends, one of my favorite guests of the show just recently reminded me people need to keep open minds. And so much as even if a person with a disability achieves something, must be recognized as a complete achievement. Must be perceived that this person accomplished something, not merely that they accomplished something despite their condition. They may have learned to work with it as a tool and as a strength. However, we should not look upon it in any way as being less of an accomplishment or still an impossibility, a fluke. We should rather see it as a precedent, a person with a disability opening a door, whether it be because they wanted to trailblaze for their people, or if they simply did it for personal satisfaction. Fact is, we should always keep that open mind for anyone who achieves what they set their hearts and minds out to do. It's easy for anyone in society to say, this can never be done. It's quite another thing for a person to take that, make an accomplishment out of it, and own that for themselves. When a person with a disability achieves something, they should get the same sense of accomplishment, satisfaction that anyone else does. For it takes effort and thought and hope and perseverance to achieve in this world. And having a disability does not change this. Therefore, if a person achieves, let them achieve. Celebrate the fact that something was accomplished. Don't look for reasons to analyze why it may be a different route than someone else might have taken. If it ends in the same destination, which is to say, a person getting to the goal that they had in mind, can't we just take that and be content with the idea that people are stronger and more versatile than we give them credit for? This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Miles, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.